Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter, reading from the first verse. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man named Zacchaeus was there. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but since he was short, he could not see because of the crowd. He ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was about to pass by that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay in your house today." He came down quickly and welcomed Jesus joyfully. When the people saw it, they were all grumbling because he went to be a guest of a sinful man. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I am going to give half of my possession to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Thus far, the words of our text. We bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, open thou my lips, that my mouth may show forth your praise. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed through the atoning blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was a midweek evening. The family had just left the church about 7 o'clock. A family consisting of mom, dad, and two children. They lived kind of back in the mountains. And so as they were driving that mountain road, it was kind of a nasty night weather-wise. Suddenly they hit a spot of black ice. The car spun around and went off the cliff. Fortunately, there was a car not too far behind them that saw it, called 911. And as soon as possible, the first responders were there. They rappelled down the cliff to reach the car, and they brought out the two children, still alive, took them up the cliff to a waiting helicopter, Flight for Life, which took them to the hospital. But mom and dad did not make it. 9/11. Think of how many thousands of people went to work on that day, thinking about what they were going to do when they got home that night with their families. It was not to be. Their lives were quickly snuffed out. Or think of the people that boarded that plane, thinking about the vacation days they were going to celebrate. And the pilot nosedives the plane into the Indian Ocean, a plane they're still looking for to this day. Instantly, they were gone. Just a couple of weeks ago, you heard in Indiana where 6 people were shot to death in a home. If you read the papers today about car accidents around the nation, how many people perished last night? The point is, when that moment of death comes, the Bible is clear. There are 2 paths. One is heaven, the other is hell. And in spite of the fact with 9/11, where they have everyone who died there with the rays of light shining up as though they all went to heaven, you know from Scripture that that was not the case. And so we see the urgency of getting God's Word out there around the world, especially when Jesus says that he came to save that which was lost. He wants all to be saved, come unto the knowledge of the truth. Think of your own lives. Think of our lives. Sinners that we are. Sinners that deserve nothing but punishment. And yet a Savior who came and went to the cross bearing all of our sins. Through grace, we are what we are. With that love of Savior, our Savior in our heart, may that promote us this morning and always to see the must in the great invitation, the great commission, which is go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. First of all, we must take note of the wounded, the guilty, the troubled conscience. Now, before the story of Zacchaeus, the Lord has plenty to say about riches. You have the rich man and poor Lazarus. You have the rich young ruler. You have also the parable of the rich fool, who has such a bountiful crop, he tears everything down, builds new buildings, thinking he's all set for life. All messages about how riches lead one or can lead one away from God's word. And so that brings us to Zacchaeus. We heard in the text Zacchaeus was rich. Why was he rich? He was a tax collector. Tax collectors in that day were despised by the people. Why? Number one, they were collecting much more than they should have from the people and pocketing the excess. And we read in our text also that he was the chief of the tax collectors, as Zacchaeus was. And also they were collecting taxes for the Roman government, which the people hated. And so Zacchaeus comes into town on the day when Jesus is there. How did Zacchaeus know about Jesus? Certainly the name had been getting around as to all the miracles, the things that Jesus had been doing. But remember that one of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, had been a tax collector. Would it be possible that Matthew knew him? That Matthew shared something about Jesus? But it looks to me like Zacchaeus had a conscience that was bothering him, knowing that what he was doing was not right. And so when he comes into town, you don't see him at the back of the crowd just chatting casually with someone else. But he had to see Jesus that day. He went to a sycamore tree, climbed up where he could see him and hear what Jesus had to say. Perhaps a troubled conscience brought him to that point. Remember what the conscience does. What does your conscience do when you say something about someone that you shouldn't have and you can't sleep at night? You did something that you shouldn't be doing. You can't sleep at night. And the list goes on and on, how that conscience bothers us at times. Listen to what the Bible says about the conscience. We heard the word in one of our readings this morning. Romans 2:15. They show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and at other times even defending them. The conscience can cause great pain. Think of David, the psalmist David, with his affair with Bathsheba, and then arranging so that her husband is killed on the front battle lines. Listen to what David has to say in his psalm, Psalm 32. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day, snapped, was sapped as in the heat of summer. In fact, a conscience can bring tragic results. For example, we take a look at today. Today with a conscience, especially for those people who do not have Jesus in their life, do not have Jesus in their home. What is the alternative? They try to drown it in alcohol. They try to drown it, do away with it in drugs. When they come back to their senses, the conscience is still there, they do it again and again. Sometimes the conscience leads to very death itself, to suicide, hopelessness, and despair. And especially nowadays, when we realize that less and less homes in the world have Jesus in their house. And so we must recognize that Zacchaeus is among us, in our communities, those with troubled consciences, those who need to hear about Jesus and what he did as the Savior of the world. We must also understand the urgency, again that word must, We must understand that urgency. Not as a good work, but the love of Christ motivates us to want to be urgent in doing this. Remember what Jesus the Good Shepherd said in John chapter 10. I have other sheep outside the sheep pen. Again, the word, I must bring them in. And think of the parable of the lost sheep. Jesus, who leaves the 99 sheep, they're fine, they're safe. And he goes out beating the bushes and looking for that one lost sheep. The urgency, the determination to save that one lamb, that one sheep. Is that the urgency that we also have with people around the world who don't know Jesus? Take a look at Zacchaeus again. Jesus knows his sheep. Jesus knew what Zacchaeus up on that sycamore tree needed, what was bothering him. And that's why Jesus, knowing all, knowing the heart, looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down right now. Today, I must go to your house. The urgency. How often we see that on the mission field, having served in Puerto Rico, having served in the Dominican Republic, in Haiti, in Mexico, places like that. Story about Alberto. A family came to our house, lived down in a kind of a shack by the river. All of their children had not been baptized. And so we had some discussions with them. One day they brought their children to our house, and there we had a baptism ceremony. The youngest of the children was Alberto. Little did anyone know that a month after that, Alberto would be struck down only two blocks from my house by a car and killed. What a comfort I could comfort the family with that Alberto was at the side of his Savior through the sacrament of holy baptism. I think of Zulema. Zulema, a young gal in Mexico, who at a very young age was already pregnant and had some Bible studies with her and her mom. And when I left there, that's the last I knew about it. And it was like a couple of years later when I get a text message on Facebook. It's Zulema. Zulema had another child. Premature. She was at the hospital, and that premature baby probably would not make it. And so my stern words to Zulema, in Spanish of course, but was, is that child baptized? No, it's not. I said, go, do it. Water, get in, you know, here's how you do it. The next day she texted me again. And I said, Zulema, did you baptize that child? Well, no, not yet. What are you waiting for? So with encouragement, she did go and have that baby baptized, that baby who then perished and died, but as a baptized child of God. The urgency that we have in all of these stories. And so we think of today. Today is your mission festival. The mission festival, I hope all of us together see the urgency of getting that word of God to people. Do you realize that every day 170,000 people die with COVID? It's probably higher now. And of those, close to 70,000 do not know the Savior, do not have the Savior in their homes or in their hearts. Out of 170 that die, 70,000 will die without knowing a Savior. I hope that motivates you with the urgency that's out there. Because amongst those 70,000, maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor. Somebody you know that needs to hear the message about Jesus. Eternal destiny depends on that. Remember the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man who ended up in hell, not because he was rich, but because he lacked faith in the Lord and the Savior. There are going to be those who object to that urgency of reaching out to other people around the world. That's what happened with Zacchaeus. We hear the muttering. He has gone to be a guest of sinners. What is he thinking? What is he doing? And people still mutter today when there is a request for a special gift, for a mission project, world missions, wherever it might be. And there are still people who say, we shouldn't be doing that. First of all comes new carpeting in the church. First of all, we need this and we need that. But you don't need that as much as people need Christ in their hearts. A little about where we have been and what we have seen and whatever. As I mentioned, Puerto Rico, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Mexico. We have probably gone through all of the sicknesses that have been, whether it's dengue fever or whatever in those countries. We have seen the suffering. We have lived amongst the cartels for almost 5 years in Mexico, seeing what goes on there. We have seen the poorest of the poor. When you see all of this, the more you realize the urgency. So many people out there who need to hear about Jesus as the Lord and the Savior. We must see the urgency in doing that. Not only that, we must see the fruits of such preaching and of such sharing the Word of God. Think of King David again. King David, who was laboring under his conscience and what had gone on with Bathsheba and her husband. Finally, when it was pointed out to him and he repented of his sin, what a relief that was. Jesus spent time with Zacchaeus. Come on down. Today I must go to your house. We don't have the conversation of what Jesus talked to him about. That's law and gospel. But listen in our text to the fruits that visit of Jesus to his home. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Here and now. Wow, what a change of heart Zacchaeus had. You can almost hear the joy in his saying these words. What a relief to now be on the right track for a change. I'm going to share with you a story about Regal. This is at one of our Bible studies in the community. We worked in 14 communities there in Sonora, Mexico. Sometimes weekly, some at least once a month. And after one of those gatherings for Bible study in the city plaza, a lady came up to me afterwards and she said, "Pastor, I'm pleading with you. Can you help us? My husband is involved with the drugs and the cartels. He's involved with a lot of alcohol. Our marriage is falling apart. Our family is falling apart. Can you help us?" I said, "Here's what we'll do. My wife and I will go to your home once a week for a bird." That cleared up later on. And after 1 year of Bible study, Regal was confirmed as your brother in Christ. And to this day, he has no longer touched neither a drug nor alcohol. What fruits can come about of sharing Jesus and him crucified with a family. What does the Bible say about fruits? 2 Corinthians 5. I want you to listen closely to the first words. For Christ's love compels us. Once again, Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. You also go to Titus chapter 2. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own, eager to do what is good. And so, today, we see people blowing themselves up and suicides and shootings and all of the things that are going on in the world these days that we read. There's one answer to that, and that is getting Jesus, our Savior, and his message into those homes. We must get to those homes, and Jesus must get to those homes. We think of the fruits in Africa, the tens of thousands who are now our brothers and sisters in Christ in Africa. How many national pastors in the 30s or 40s that we have there now? Oh, that's expanding. And one of the more recent things in the last couple of years is Vietnam. I grew up in the 60s. Think of what Vietnam was back then. And all of a sudden to hear that there's over 100,000 Christians who are leaning on us, our synod, to teach them about Christ. Wow. Just think about that. What a joy that is. What a blessing. The fruits of faith. And also, we think of Costa Maya Ministries, which I'll be presenting between services today. Costa Maya Ministries, way out in the boonies. And yet a ministry that is growing by the grace of God. I had the privilege of instructing and bringing forth the first confirmation class there of 8 people. Just to show you about the urgency, 3 of those people have already died. That has continued to grow under the permanent pastor that's there now. Emphasis has switched a little bit because this entire Costa Maya, this Mahahual, runs on one thing. Their economy runs on the cruise ships coming in, tourism. There is none now. There is zero income. And so now our church there has turned to humanitarian aid. Humanitarian aid, food supplies to 400 families per week. Ishkalat, 150 families per week. And through that also sharing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior with them. What a blessing. What an opportunity that's going on there. And then we must also rejoice with the angels in heaven. Listen to what we read in the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. When you were baptized, rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven. When you came to faith, what great rejoicing. Still today, those angels rejoice. Let's go back to Zulema. Remember the one who texted me about her premature baby who was dying? A couple of years later, I happen to see a picture of Zulema in our church there in Altar on her knees before the pastor, she herself being baptized, rejoicing amongst the angels. In San Manuel, another one of the villages we worked in, I was told there were going to be 4 baptisms. 2 weeks later, I was told that when they found out it was not going to be done in the Catholic Church, the sponsors had backed out or padrinos, as they're called in Spanish. So we went there on that day. I had my stuff along, just anticipating that, well, the baptisms were not going to be done. As we went down the gravel road into San Manuel, and we got closer, we saw the people all seated in the community. A table was set up, and four girls standing there in their beautiful baptismal gowns to be baptized, rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven. In La Reforma, another village that we worked at, indeed, during the time when the cartels were very active, and it was a time when soon we were going to be leaving that area, four girls said, they came to me and they said, "We want to be confirmed." I said, "The only way we can do this is if we have a class every single day." When I went there, sometimes there were roadblocks, I couldn't get there, but when I got there, they were there every single day, and we went through the catechism, we studied and we studied and we studied, and that last service that we had in La Reforma, four girls in their beautiful gowns were confirmed as members of the Lutheran Church. I could go on and on with the wonderful rejoicing of the angels and rejoicing of us with such fruit from preaching the gospel. One more story about Susanna. In one of the villages we were working, Susanna came with her mother and her aunt from another village. She was 18 years old. She'd been born with a heart defect. The Mexican doctors had done all that they could for her and said, "There's nothing more we can do." And the heart problems had damaged her lungs. They came pleading to us for help. We were able to get permission to take her to Nogales, to a free clinic. There she was examined by a cardiologist. That same cardiologist invited her to come to Tucson for a more thorough exam. We were able to do that. And he offered his services for surgery free of charge. The problem is we waited for 3 years and no hospital would open up their surgery rooms free of charge to do it. At the age of 21, Susanna went to be with her Savior. But why did she go to be with her Savior? I had had 3 years of devotions and studies with her to point her in that direction. What a blessing that was. And so today, dear friends in Christ, motivated by what Christ has done for you, what He has offered to you, your forgiveness, life, and salvation, that motivate us to remember Jesus' words, His desire that all would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And also those words which He spoke to Zacchaeus, which He also wants still today. "Today, I must come to your house." May you and I be part of that mission. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.